a surge in home prices.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Tuesday, the 30th of April. And today we learned that home prices rose by the most in almost 7 years in February. That's according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index, which said prices were up 1.2%. since January and 9.3% from a year earlier. Gus Fauché is senior economist with the PNC Financial Services Group, and he joins us to discuss from Pittsburgh. Good morning.
Good morning.
So a 9.3% jump, Gus, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's definitely good news for the housing market, and it's good news for homeowners. Homeowners are wealthier. That will enable them to spend a little bit more, and so that's positive for economic growth over the next year or so.
And the big gains were in Atlanta, Phoenix, and Las Vegas. I wonder if these are ordinary people buying homes and sending prices higher, or is this investors that are buying homes, as we've heard about over the last year or so?
Some of it is investors coming in to take advantage of lower prices and the opportunity to buy and perhaps turn these properties into rental properties and then get a gain when they sell them. But more of it, much more of it, is actually from consumers who are deciding that interest rates are low, that prices are starting to move up, that the labor market is improving, that rents have moved higher, so this is a good time to go out and buy, and they're taking advantage of the very high affordability right now.
What do we know about foreclosures and short sales, which have been helping to drive the market a little bit recently?
Yeah, foreclosures and short sales are declining as a share of total sales, and that's contributing to the price gains. When a bank takes over a house, they don't want to hold it on their books. They want to get rid of it, and so they sell it at a discount. Now that it's fewer short sales and foreclosures, we have less downward pressure on prices. That's creating a positive self-reinforcing cycle where we have price gains, fewer people underwater, fewer foreclosures and short sales, and then that in turn boost price appreciation further.
Gus Fauché, senior economist with the PNC Financial Services Group. Well, just a week after the stock market had a momentary plummet because of an erroneous tweet from the Associated Press, federal regulators are holding a hearing today on the role of high-frequency trading, what role that might have played. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Combine the flood of instant information, often unverified, on social media with automated trading programs that buy and sell on that information in microseconds, and you get the potential for a big mess. Bart Chilton is a commissioner at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission.
I think that regulators need to take a step back, see how technology is impacting markets, because at times people lose money because technology doesn't always work like we think it woulda, coulda, or shoulda.
Concern about the impact of social media on the markets has been growing. The SEC recently said companies can share financial information on Twitter and Facebook. James Angel teaches finance at the Wharton School. He says social media isn't the problem.
It's the availability of instant information that is the real risk here. It's just one more thing in the modern electronic world that can go haywire.
Angel says last week the market worked as it was supposed to and quickly corrected when the news turned out to be false. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
So maybe you use your smartphone apps for tweeting or booking flights or checking your bank balance. But as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports, more and more Americans are using those smartphone apps in emergencies.
Moments after the Boston bombings, a lot of people turned to their smartphones to let family and friends know they were okay, using apps like Life 360. Chris Holes is the company's CEO.
It was thousands and thousands of check-ins right after it happened. It was pretty interesting to see how people, the first thing they did after that happened and they were fine, was pull out the app and check in.
The Life 360 cell phone app lets you see family members' locations and send text messages and emails to them. The basic app is free, but users can pay for premium service like 24-hour personal support. Hull says the marketplace has gotten crowded as events like Hurricane Sandy and the Sandy Hook school shooting showed people the need for emergency apps.
The fact that we have an always-on internet and location-enabled device in our pockets, it's kind of just clicked for everybody.
Everybody from USC to the Red Cross is developing emergency apps. The market in the U.S. is estimated to be worth $1 billion and growing as schools, businesses, and other institutions look to buy emergency apps.
Siren is a software company that connects individuals like you to first responders and first responders to each other so that when you need help, it gets there faster.
Paul Rahner is the founder of Siren GPS, an emergency app that's coming soon. It will also be free, but will charge for special services. Rahner says his app can save precious minutes in an emergency situation.
Right now, when you call 911, you have to tell them who you are, where you are, and what's wrong. We're sending them information with your call, and it makes that response that much faster.
That's why emergency apps will likely become as common a feature as Google Maps on smartphones, says Dr. Kevin Thomas. He directs the healthcare emergency program at Boston University's School of Medicine.
It wouldn't surprise me if smartphone makers in the future don't incorporate these as part of the standard package.
Apple has filed a patent for an emergency app for its iPhone. Next, the challenge will be to prevent cell phone service from crashing, like it did during Hurricane Sandy, so those emergency apps can actually work. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And finally, to the album that for 50 years held the record for the longest stretch on the top of the charts in the UK.
Last night I said these words to my girl.
Yep, it's the Beatles' 1963 album, Please Please Me. Well, there is a new game in town. Her name is Emily Sandé, and her album, Our Version of Events, has been in the top 10 in the UK for 63 weeks, beating the Beatles. So if there's another British invasion on the way, this is what it's going to sound like.
Next to me.
New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.